Hello, this is Lisa Robin Young, and welcome to Course Correction, Mid-Year Strategic Planning to Set Yourself Up for a Happy New Year. This is our monthly training for my Accountability Club members. They are a courageous bunch of creatives, defining success on their own terms. And if you're not already a member, it's because of them that you get to listen to these calls live at no cost. So big thanks to them for sponsoring today's training, and you can learn more about A-Club at lisarobinyoung.com/ACLUB. That's A-Club. It's officially summer here in the Northern Hemisphere, and that means it's time for the annual schedule shift that comes when kids and summer demands ramp up. It's also the time of year that many creatives look back on the first half of the year and go, what the heck happened? Where did the year go? Both my boys are in Nashville this summer. Forrest is preparing to start recording engineering school this fall, and Liam's off school for the summer, and I have spent the whole year getting ready for this. In fact, my major goal this year was to essentially take the entire summer off and be fully present with my kids. I've never taken a 2.5 month vacation before, and I haven't fully stepped away from my business. I'm obviously still leading these classes, working with my current clients, so I'm not completely gone, but I have stripped everything way, 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 way back. And we're only a week in, so I'll keep you posted on how much of my sanity I have left by the end of summer, but so far, so good. I can't complain. The kids have been great, and it's been fun having them here. Many creatives hit this time of year, though, and are either burned out from working too hard, linear, I'm looking at you, or they're frustrated, thinking that they should be farther along than they are. Why am I not there yet? And chaotic, that's you. Sometimes you can be kind of zen about it and be like, okay, I'm just going to trust, things are going to work out, all is going to be good, trust the process. Sometimes that works for us, but oftentimes for creatives, there's a lot of head scratching and trying to figure out what to do differently to get things back on track. And if you're a fusion like me, doing is a standard operating procedure. Like, I am do, 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 go, 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 get her done all the time. Always busy, right? And no, I'm not immune to this, okay? I can get stuck in what's called the artisan trap. Lesson 2, the author of Predictable Success, talks about the artisan trap, where we create, and then we stop creating so that we can market, and then we stop marketing so that we can create, and back and forth and back and forth, instead of creating a flow where the two go together. So the fusion, I can get stuck in this trap and feel that push and pull of both that linear go, 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 and that chaotic, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Kind of energy. I can make a lot of progress. I know I've stuff done and still not feel like I've got anything to show for. Okay, so I get it. Believe me. I do. And we often teach the thing we most need to learn, as my coach likes to remind me. So how do you get back on track when things go off the rails? If 2017, or whatever year you're listening to this, hasn't panned out the way you want it to, and you'd like some help making a strategic plan for greater success in the second half of the year, then you're in the right place. And if 2017, or whatever year you're listening to this, is going well, and you want to stay on a growth track, then this session should also be helpful to you, because today we're going to discover how your creative blind spot might be responsible for stalling your progress this year. I'm going to show you a simple way to get back on track to 2017 and set yourself up for a fabulous 2018, or whatever year you're listening to this in. And I'm going to share with you the only tool I've used for the past 5-plus years to set and achieve my most important goal. And when I stay true to this, it works. And when I deviate, it does. And then, of course, the proverbial more, because there's always more things that come up while we're leading these classes. I always open up the lines for Q&A as time permits at the end. We usually run about an hour. So if questions or ahas come up for you during our time together, I hope you'll share them with us at the end. And if you haven't already, grab your pencil, your notebook, your beverage of choice, turn off your distractions, because we don't get this party started. Let's dig in. This past week, I updated the free report that you get when you take my Creative Freedom Quiz. And if you've already taken it, then you know your creative type, from the very linear to the very chaotic, and the fusions in between. When I updated the document, I also added a more detailed chart for each type that illustrates how your strengths can also become your blind spot in growing your business. It's like a double-edged sword. Each type has their ninja skills, and they can quickly turn into blind spots if they are left unchecked. So we're going to start by taking a look at each type now and see if something in here triggers a deeper understanding for you of what's been slowing down your business growth. Chaotics have an incredible vision, okay? They can paint a huge picture of what they want to accomplish. They have high standards of excellence, and they know how to create an exceptional experience for their audience. They can be highly intuitive, and that intuition, that gut instinct, is usually right on the money. And these are all powerful ninja skills for a chaotic creative. On the other hand, those visionary ideas and plans often remain in your head, making you the bottleneck in the business. You know what you want to achieve, but you haven't articulated it effectively to your team, so you're stuck. Now, there are different reasons why that happens, and we may go into those later, but I just want you to understand that if it stays in your head, it's very hard for your team to take the ball and run with it, okay? And those high standards can quickly devolve into perfectionism or stalling out until something is just right or perfect before you put it out into the world. Your desire to create an exceptional experience can have you overspending, running over budget. And when coupled with perfectionism, it can have you running behind schedule to boot. So these are all things that compound upon one another, and that's when the "are we there yet" energy starts to kick in. Or, more accurately, the "why aren't we there yet" energy. You're very clear that you haven't met your expectations, but you're not sure why. And very often, it's somewhere in there that's causing the problem. But let's see if we can unpack this and flip the lens so that you can see how this looks to the rest of the world, how the rest of the world sees that chaotic who keeps their visions inside their brain, okay? So here's a chaotic creative. Keep saying, let's say they have this big goal, this big plan, this big vision for something, but they haven't communicated the full scope of this to their team. Your team's on board. They're like, yeah, let's do it, but they don't have the clarity on how to move forward. So everything still has to run through your fingers before they can act on it. And that's you bottlenecking the business. A lot of times this happens for chaotic because they're afraid. They're afraid someone's going to steal their idea. They're afraid that they can't trust their people to actually implement or execute the way they want it done. You know, that perfectionism piece. So everything's running through your fingers, and your team isn't empowered to get the work done. And maybe you're not feeling comfortable trusting them to make those decisions. If they're new to your team, that's understandable. That makes sense, right? You're not going to give a brand new person full rein. But you, at some point, have to make that transition happen. You don't want to rush the transition of power, right? But you do have to make the transition at some point. You need to empower and trust your team to run with your vision. But you also have to communicate the full scope of that vision to them. It's like saying, I want to throw an amazing party. Let's have a big cake with lots of decorations. And that's great. But your team still really can't move forward because you haven't defined what amazing means. What does amazing look and feel like to you so that they can understand that? What does big cake mean to you? What does lots of decorations mean to you? In other words, they need to have that definition of success so that they know what success is for everybody else, right? So I hear you say, okay, well, I want a big chocolate cake with sprinkles and balloons, lots of balloons. That means success. Okay, great. So your team goes out and buys these two huge balloon arches and a chocolate cheesecake with white frosting and sprinkles. And you're less than amused because you wanted a chocolate layer cake big enough for some hot dude to jump out of, and balloon arches aren't your jam. You wanted the ceiling covered in a rainbow colored balloon, but you didn't articulate that. So are you starting to see the problem here? You have a clear vision in your mind, chaotic. You've got it all up in your brain. You know all the details, all the nuances, but you've got to get it out of your mind and document it in a way that your team can act on. Even if the only person on your team is you. I know that sounds like an extra step, but here's why. It is easy to compromise on your vision if you don't document it. All right, so shoot a video, write it down, paint a picture, draw a sketch. Just get it out of your brain and into the tangible, tactile world. Okay? And, you know, for a chaotic to compromise, that's like chopping off a limb or something. Well, I'll allow some for balloon arches, even though they're not my jam. No. Take it from someone who knows. Every time a chaotic settles or compromises their vision, they're not happy. It creates stress. Now, there's a difference between settling and consciously making an alternative choice. It may sound like semantics, but it's not, I promise you, because your brain hears the two things differently. Your brain records them differently. One is empowering. I'm choosing to go for the balloon arches because they match the budget, they give us the same effect, and while they don't really meet what I wanted originally, I'm okay with making that choice because it allows me to do some other things instead. I can get the bigger cake or whatever. Okay? Versus, well, I guess I'll get the balloon arches even though I don't like them. Because what will happen is the day will come and you'll be sitting there looking at the balloons going, instead of feeling empowered and excited about what you set out to do in the first place. And believe me, that energy affects your results. If you're a PI, you probably already know that. So you can't just say, I want to make $10,000 a month. That's great. But you've got to be clear on how that's going to happen. And if you're not clear on how that's going to happen, you have to be open to exploring options, having conversations, and getting clarity. All of this takes time. Okay? And it's also easy, if you're not documenting things, to keep raising the bar on your vision. I know a woman who began the year saying that success would be making $5,000 a month and has been slowly raising that bar all year without laying out a clear plan to make those changes happen. She started at $5,000 a month, and then it was like, no, I really need to make $7,000 a month, and then it was like, no, I want to have $5,000 of my own money, which means I need to make even more, and she never laid out a clear plan for any of it, okay? So then she's just getting frustrated with herself when another month goes by, and she hasn't hit the goal. Never mind the fact that she's doing much better this year than she did last year. Never mind the fact that she's very close to hitting that original goal of $5,000 a month and working less in the process. But because she didn't take the time to actually document and hold herself accountable to that original vision, she's got scope creep going on, and she can't celebrate the growth that she's already experienced because she's too busy looking at what she doesn't have. And if you've never heard me say it before, please hear it now. If you can't celebrate the small progress you're already making, if you keep not enoughing your progress, it's not good enough, it's not fast enough, it's not nearly enough, okay? If you're doing that, you're going to be hard-pressed to ever achieve what really matters to you, because you'll be too busy not enoughing everything that you're doing to achieve it. Well, yeah, I know, I just brought in $500, but I really need $3,000. Whoa, but you just pulled $500 out of nowhere. Can we celebrate that for a minute, please? Can we figure out how to replicate that? Because then you're going to be that much closer to that $3,000 that you want. Oh, yeah. Now, what about that powerful intuition that we were talking about, the chaotic path? Well, remember, I said it's usually on target. But I've never met anybody with 100% accuracy. And it's in those instances where you've acted on a hunch without checking in with the bigger picture of your business the chaotic can find themselves asking, oh my God, what did I get myself into? Making costly mistakes that could have been avoided had they slowed down to get confirmation on their hunch. Now, checking in doesn't mean not following your gut, because I can hear all the chatter going, no, I follow my gut. Whatever it says, I follow my gut. Okay, I hear that, right? Checking in doesn't mean you don't get to follow your gut. It just means you're double-checking, because sometimes we misunderstand. Sometimes we're excited for all the wrong reasons. Sometimes the opportunity being presented is meant to be a trigger for something else. That thing you think you want, that direction you think you're headed, isn't really where the divine wants you to go, but that's the thing that's going to get you off dead stop and get you moving. And the incubator is a great example. This was a dream of mine for probably since I was high school, I think. I dreamed of building this physical location where creatives could come together and work together and grow their businesses together by supporting one another with the different needs of whatever creative project they were working on. You're making a movie, you need a set designer. Hey, we've got a set designer here. Work together. Make it happen, right? That was my dream. Way too big of a vision for where I'm at right now. So I had tabled the idea indefinitely. Then I had a friend who was working in a school district. He was a teacher. And he asked me to help him launch his business. And he talked to me and said, this is what I want to do. And I have a feeling I'm going to lose my job, and they're laying me off, and I really need to get this going before I get the layoff notice. I'd really like to have some money coming in. Great. So I developed a proposal outlining how I could use my skill set and the abilities that I had as, you know, 20 years as an entrepreneur working in various parts and pieces of businesses, and how I could help him inside his business to get it off the ground. And he said, yes, let's do it. Let's go for it. I said, great. Here's the payment information. And the next day, he lost his job, they sent him the pink slip, and he said, I can't do this because I need every penny I have now. Now, there's a whole story I could talk to you about the fear minds and stopping yourself from growing, but that's not the conversation we're having here. He rejected the proposal, and the next thing that went through my brain was, oh, my God, what in the world did I do all this work for? I trusted my gut, and I got busted. What did I get myself into? Okay? Now, lucky for me, the vision for the incubator reformed in my mind not very long later, and I could make the connection, okay? This time in a virtual format, and the hours that I spent developing that proposal for my friend ended up being almost exactly what I used for that first cohort of incubator clients who applied last year. All the work I put into two projects that went down the tubes that didn't work out ended up being something I could use to move myself into a new direction and help creatives in a different way. Had I kept my eye on working with my friends, though, the way I had envisioned that it, quote-unquote, should be, I would have missed out on something so much bigger with the incubator. I had to check in with my original vision, with my original gut instinct of, yes, let's make this, and get clear about why it was so appealing. Why was I willing to do all that work only to have him shoot me down? Like, get so close and then be like, shh, not going to happen. Well, it was never about working with my friend, but rather opening up a door that would have stayed closed had he not shown up, because I never would have done that work if he hadn't come to me and said, can you help me? If anybody else had shown up, I'd been like, sorry, I don't do anything like that. I don't have anything like that. But because of who he was and how much I believed in what he was trying to do, I'm like, let me figure this out for you. And I did. And the divine knew, yeah, that's not going to happen for you, but you need to do that legwork to get this other thing. And if I had sat there looking at the closed door and telling about it, I never would have gotten these amazing clients that I have in the incubator now. So, yeah, trust in your gut can still work out. I believe that fully. I also believe that if I hadn't been willing to check in with that bigger picture, the bigger picture of what I'm on this planet to do, I would still be angry with my friend and frustrated by my lack of growth. So chaotic vision is powerful. But without an audience and a team to bring it to fruition, your vision can't make the impact that it's meant to bring to the world. And that means trusting others with the specific details
the specific details, not the nebulous general idea, okay? Give them the detailed strokes and let them get to work on that 6-foot double chocolate cake with sprinkles and a hot dude inside that's waiting to jump out and party. What did you want? Be clear on what you really want. Linears, on the other hand, have an eye for detail. They're good at this stuff. They can spot you in the tiniest errors from a mile away, and they are not afraid to tell you all about it. I found 27 typos and 3-page margin alignment issues in your document. Great, thank you. Let me fix that. They are results-oriented, and they are great at developing systems, processes to keep things running like a well-oiled machine. They can be good innovators and problem solvers. They find patterns and solutions. Things that seem obvious to them, but they're elusive to other people. Like the chaotic, who don't see the world the way linears see the world. The double-edged sword here for linears is that they often miss the bigger picture because they're too focused on the details. Being too bottom-line focused can cause you to cut corners. Corners that feel superfluous to you in the moment, but actually helps the long-term stability and momentum of your project or your business. And while systems and practices are great, they're only great when they work, which takes time to figure out. So if you're just starting something, if you've only done it once or twice, you don't have enough iterations of that something under your belt to know if a system is even feasible at this point, because you don't know what all of the extenuating circumstances and unconsidered factors are, unless you're importing someone else's system to your business and then just running their system. Okay, like there's a system for doing teleclasses. You can probably pull that out from somebody else and just kind of bing, bang, boom, 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 follow along and pretty much make it work. But even then, your system's going to be slightly different and nuanced than somebody else's cookie cutter boilerplate thing. You're going to have to tweak, right? So forcing people to stick to the system that you just drew together because systems are your jam, okay, will only make you come across as rigid, inflexible, and you'll run the risk of alienating your team. It is easy to get too granular too soon because you've been building contingencies for your contingencies. That's what linears do. As an innovator, you're 2 or 3 steps ahead of everybody else. Almost all the time. So while it seems like what you're asking was completely reasonable to you, because you've seen and articulated the details, right? Everybody else around you thinks you're asking for the impossible because they haven't processed it yet. They haven't connected the dots yet. You've seen all the dots out there, but they haven't, all they can see are dots. And that's what it's easy to get frustrated with your team. Again, even if you're just a team of one. Because you not only see the future, you're already living it in your mind. You know the result you want. You know what needs to happen to get there. And you've already told everybody else. You're just waiting for them to catch up. And sometimes you're not real good at helping them catch up. You're just expecting them to figure it out and catch up. Okay? And this is an example from one of my former clients. He is an incredibly successful author and mentor, but he used Neuralink, and we worked together to develop an online coaching program built around his intellectual property. This was a 15-month coaching program that we were developing. His job was to compile the content, and he had a team of designers to build out and develop the delivery of this content. My job was to oversee the work, interface with the coaching clients, and actually be the coach when clients needed one-on-one support. Now, he did a great job of marketing and spreading the word about this program, okay? A great job. And on launch day, we added something like 800 people to the program, just an insane number of people for launch day for a new program like this. Now, logic would dictate that I needed to be present to meeting the needs of those customers, right? Doing welcome calls, getting orientations handled, making sure clients are getting access to the content they need, making sure that the content is there in the user area where it's supposed to be at the right time. But no.
I was dealing with a color problem. Specifically, this client was complaining that the background color on the web pages wasn't the right shade of blue. It didn't match the corporate color, which was off by just a few hexadecimal codes. I mean, it was really, really, really close, and you had to have a super fine eye to even notice it, right? This was not something anyone else even noticed or cared about, but he was adamant that we needed to fix this problem now. Drop everything else and get this color problem solved. Okay. Now, it should be a quick fix, but you're talking about a comprehensive website, and there was stuff that needed to go on behind the scenes, and I was busy handling corrections, right? So in the meantime, about a month into this project, he's still throwing up these nitpicky fix-it issues. And he hasn't completed the content for the clients yet. We're behind in delivering content because he's worried about these nitpicky things. We're waiting on him to get us the training content, and his 800-plus members are wondering, why are we paying $500 a month for content we haven't gotten yet? When is it coming? And as a result, enrollment dropped by about half at the end of the first month because the deliverables just weren't there. Now, I am all for, you know, failing forward and good enough is good enough when it's appropriate. And you don't want to be super picky and too much of a perfectionist to not get your content up when it needs to be up. But you just need to have it done. Right? So these people are going, where's my fault? Customer service complaints, like, up the wazoo. We had so many people who are like, where's my stuff? I paid for it. Where's my stuff? And I'm trying to handle, you know, fix the font, adjust that font size, change that color. I'm like, this is not the best use of my stuff. Right? He was simply focused on the wrong detail, the ones that didn't move the ball forward, but the ones that kept him up at night because they wouldn't let him go. They kept nagging at him. So, of course, we didn't hit our first quarter goals because we were focused on the wrong thing. Now, in the end, we did manage to right the ship, stabilize enrollment. We just had to get it through his head that there were more important big-picture issues that needed to be handled before we worried about the color of the background. Yes, it's a small thing, but that's just one of a laundry list of small fixes that, when you compound them, become a huge roadblock to doing what you need to do to serve the customers in your business. Details are important. Okay? It's like the tool of the chaotic. The details are important. But without the bigger picture, something the chaotic are pretty good at, your great work loses its meaning in the world. And that means recognizing how each detail serves the greater whole so that you don't get obsessed about something that's, I say this in love, a bit more trivial in the grand scheme of things. I know you're linear. No, none of it's trivial. It's so important. Yes, it is. But when we're relating one thing to another, the background color is trivial compared to delivering the content to your client. Now, fusion, of which I am one, and I know there are a few of you listening. We seem to stay in this perpetual state of business. I alluded to it earlier. It means we're always up to something. Okay? Doing is our standard modus operandi. Fusions move quickly. We can get stuff done. Lots of stuff done. Okay? You need something done, call a fusion, because we will get it done, especially if we know exactly what we need to crank out. You know, if there's not a lot of trying to invent something out of thin air, we're really good. Like, give me the instructions. I will have that table put together in 12 seconds. Like, let's go. Okay? We get stuff done. But that doesn't mean it always gets marketed. Doesn't always get shared. Like, I'm a content machine, and I would bet most people don't know that there are over 300 blog posts on my blog, and I've never taken the time to dive through all of it. They've maybe seen the last couple, three, four videos I've done, and they're like, oh, yeah, I know who she is. I'm like, no, you don't. You barely scratched the surface, because I'm a fusion. We are jacks of all trades. We do everything, and we are good at a lot of things because we're obsessed about being good at lots of things because it's fun for us. It's weird, but it's fun, okay? We have the best and the worst of both the chaotic and linear type. So we can see the big picture and the detail. We can forget to share it, or we can get super, super granular and freak people out and overwhelm them.
We are, after all, the jack of all trades type, the quick study. We know a lot, and we can space our way through a whole lot more.
I can't tell you how many times I've BS my way through something just to get in the door or make something happen for somebody because I'm like, oh, sure, I'll just Google that real quick and sound smart while I'm trying to make this happen.
We try to figure stuff out.
We don't want to look dumb, and we're going to do our best to not make the people around us look dumb either.
Now, growth stalls for fusion when they won't stop wearing all the hats. In truth,
you're going to hear this, and you're going to go, mm-hmm, see, I told you.
In truth, it really is faster to just do it yourself if you're a fusion type. Oh, my God, just give it to me because it is so much faster if I just do it myself. I don't have time to teach you. Let's just get it done. And that's true for fusion for a good long while when you're in business. But when that moment comes that you really need help because there's 45,000 things and you can only handle 35,000 of them, when you need help and you need it now, you haven't got anybody to delegate to. You don't have anybody on your team that you can hand it off to and know that it's going to get done. Now you have to put the brakes on. You have to slow down your momentum a lot. And now I got to go into training mode and teach somebody. And then I got to check their work. And then, oh, man, forget it. I'll just do it myself. Because it's something to end your cost in that vicious cycle. You haven't built the strong ties relationship. You've got a vast network of loose connections. You know lots of people know you, and you know of a lot of people, but you don't have the depth. And yes, okay, I'm talking about myself, too, in a lot of respects, because I am a fusion creative, all right? I know of a lot of people, and people I know say, oh, my gosh, you know so many people. I'm like, well, I know of a lot of people, and I've worked with a lot of people on some level, but that doesn't mean that, number one, they remember me, or number two, they consider me a friend. I can drop all kinds of names, and I don't in my calls because most of the time the name isn't relevant. But I mean, I've got signed NDAs with, you know, international music stars. And if I saw that person on the street today, they'd probably be like, do I know you? I've worked with them, but they probably won't remember me. So those loose ties don't really help you when you're growing your business. And the only way you get that is by building those relationships. Because you have a vast network of loose contacts, but don't have the depth that the business needs to grow your exposure. Now, you're also prone to perfectionism and analysis paralysis because of that eye to detail and results-oriented nature. So if you do get something done, and remember, you get a lot done, chances are good you'll just move on to the next project instead of investing the time to effectively market whatever offer you just created to the world that needs it. The creating part is fun, but waiting for buyers is excruciating. It's like, okay, I created this. Why is no mine? Well, I didn't tell anybody about it, or I told 4 people about it, or I told 7 people about it. You know, or my list is small because I haven't done the work to grow it, or I haven't reached out and built that network of people who are going to help me spread the word. And I'm experiencing that in my own business. I did an offer inventory earlier this year where I just kind of went through what are all the things that I have available for people to buy from me, and I have over 100 products and services available for sale, including my books, my music, digital and physical formats, right? I create like crazy. So I was only slightly surprised by that number. What really surprised me was how many of those offers had little to no sales solely because I didn't take the time to market them properly once they were created. If something didn't sell right out of the gate, I put it aside and moved on to create the next thing. So maybe something I'll buy it later. Well, I'll come back to it some other time. Maybe I'll tweak it or update it. Let's just keep creating. Let's just keep making. Let's keep throwing spaghetti on the wall and see who buys what. This year, I've been much more intentional and slow to create much of anything. Fewer videos, fewer blog posts, fewer emails, just less content in general. And it felt a little tedious at times, to be honest, and I felt the fear of missing out and the guilt of not being everywhere consistently, which is something that fusions really go through, that FOMO and wanting to be in everybody's scene because you want to be seen as the total picture package that we are. And like I said earlier, I had to make some tough choices about how I was going to invest my time this year if I wanted to be able to take 2.5 months off this summer to be with my kids. I had to say no to a lot of opportunities and put money into other things I might have never done before. Like, never. My booking agent, for example. Some of you know Dana, and I'm working on getting her in here to teach about building your speaking career. And I thought about hiring someone to do that for a long time, but the investment scared me, quite frankly. And this year, when I got clear about how I wanted my business to look and feel, speaking and stage time moved to the top of my list of imperatives. So it was no longer something I could stall on. I called Dana. I hired her to help me get on more stages. I couldn't wait on it any longer. Now, as a student, I could keep doing the legwork to find the speaking opportunities. I mean, it's not like I couldn't do it myself. Google, email, package, talk, call, conversation, sales, you know, just go through the process. But really, I couldn't because I didn't have the bandwidth. I had clients to serve. And I wanted to spend as much time as possible with someone with my kids. That'll probably be the last summer that the two of them were together. And I wanted to really be able to savor that. So I stepped up, I owned the truth of what really mattered to me, and I made that investment. And there are a lot of people that question what I'm doing, who think that I'm dumb for doing things the way I should do. Why didn't you just put that money in the bank and save it so that you knew that you had it for the summer, and then you wouldn't have to worry about making money? And I'm like, this is one way, but I'm not one to bury the talent in the ground. I'd rather grow, and if I can use that money to grow, I'm like, well, that sounds like a plan to me. Let's make the investment for growth and take it off my shoulders, because I'm trying to be the leader and CEO of my company, not the entry-level intern who's doing all the jobs. I'm like, thank you. Not my jam. And Fusion, I have to remember to let go of my need to compare myself to anyone else except myself. And that's when my light really shines. And I'll say this to you. As a Fusion, you have to remember to let go of your need to compare yourself to anybody else except yourself. Because that's when your light really shines. As a Fusion, you stand in the middle and you look at these chaotics who are so creative and so out of the box and so revolutionary. And you think, well, I'm not a big fan. And you look to the other side and you see these leaders who are so strategic and so at the cutting edge of technology or whatever, and you go, well, I'm not as far along as I am. And you not enough yourself into not doing the work and not shining the light of your awesomeness. So how do we get back on track? Clarity plus confidence plus courage equals cash flow. This is a formula. This is an attack formula. This is a math formula that somebody taught me years ago. And she stopped using it, so I'm like, I'm totally feeling it because it's awesome. And now that you know what might be tripping you up and stalling your growth, it's time to make a plan to get back on track. So let's begin by getting clear on what track you even want to be on. Don't take this stuff lightly. Remember, it's easy to say, I want to make $10,000 a month no matter what it takes. Right? Okay, whatever it takes, $10,000, that's my goal. Woo, let's get it done. Right? But when you find out it's going to take more than you have to give, are you still going to want it? I talked about what I call the six-figure distinction in the past. It's the distinction between how people perceive what a six-figure income really does or what it looks like. Sometimes you need a six-figure income just so you can cover your living expenses and run your business with a sense of peace and ease. Sometimes you just need to adjust your expenses. And I mean your expenses of time, energy, and money. All of those are expenses or investments depending on how you use them. And if you make those adjustments and you don't need anywhere near six figures, you just want the lifestyle that you perceive six figures will bring to you. Okay? If you live in a rural place where there's not a lot, you know, the cost of living is fairly low, you probably don't need six figures. On the other hand, if you live in a San Francisco or New York, six figures is probably just about paying rent. Right? So you have to have that distinction in check. And you have to get clear on what your real priorities are. not just in the next 6 months, but for the next year. So everybody in creative build out an annual plan in January, and they keep trying to course correct through the end of the year. Oh, it's June, I'm going to do for the next 6 months. Oh, it's September, I'm going to do for the next 3 months or 4 months. In reality, you always need to be looking at the next 12 months on a rolling basis. I take it quarterly, but on a rolling basis. So, yeah, let's look at the rest of the year, for sure. But also, let's look at the first half of next year, since this is the middle of the year. Look at the next 12 months. If you run a retail store, you know that the Christmas catalogs and trends are already hitting the merchandise market, and it's June. It's June, and store owners are already making the buys for the holiday season. And the trendsetters are using the data from this season to make plans for next year in a retail environment. And online marketers tend to think about this launch, maybe the next 3 to 6 months, maybe. And if you're new as a creative in your business, you might be like, okay, look, I just got to focus on the next 2 weeks. Like, I don't even know what the rest of the month is going to hold for me. And I get that, but you've got to paint that bigger picture to give your work context and meaning to your audience and yourself. So we have to look 12 months out. That's why having a full year view is so important, that bigger picture. When I was working exclusively with direct sellers, I always encouraged them to book at least 6 months out so that they always had a full calendar, because you don't quit when you have a calendar that's full. So we're going to do an exercise right now. Close your eyes if you can. Take a deep breath. And think about the bigger picture of your life and your great work. Look at both of them, because you're a creative, so both of them work together with interlocking pieces. Look beyond December. Look into June of next year. And get clear in your bones, in your gut, in your heart, wherever it's resonant for you. Get clear on what would really count as a win for you. Not a win that somebody else wants for you, but a win for you. What's that going to be? Write it down. Document it in some way. Anything that comes to mind about what really matters to you in the next 12 months. Now, if you've got a bigger vision, 3, 5, 10-year plan, that's great. That's important. And it's hard to act on. So what are the one-year milestones inside that bigger vision? A year out from now, what would make it a win? What would be success in the next year? If I could get this, if this were to happen, if this would show up, I would call that a win. If I could do it in this way, that would be a win. For example, I have a client that wants to be earning $15,000 a month on a consistent basis. That's great. That would be a huge win. But before we can get there, we've got a couple other milestones we've got to hit. We've got to stabilize the current income. We've got to grow that into a six-figure annualized income, and then we've got to maintain that pretty consistently. Those are all milestones along the way. And we hit that six-figure annualized income in a couple of months this year, or come pretty close, but we haven't maintained it. We haven't stabilized it yet. That's the next goal. We've got to stabilize it, right? What's the win for her in the next 12 months? That's up to her. But if she settles for anything less than whatever her win is, or she tries to drive for anything more than what her win is, it will feel satisfying. And that's where the scope creep comes in, because, oh, $15,000 is my goal. Well, $20,000 is mine. Well, $22,000 is mine. And you never feel like you're getting there. You never feel, you never experience the win. So what's really important to you in your life and your work in the next 12 months? What's the big win in each of those areas for you? Don't have 75 of these things. Like, my one goal this year was to be able to set myself up so I could spend the summer with my boys, and I drove to it all year long. Now, if it's possible for you
cut that goal in half, and that's where you need to be by December. But here's a warning, because that sounds sexy, and it's not always doable. It's not always possible to do simple math like that, especially with a growth head goal, like income or list size or weight loss, which is a reverse growth goal. Oftentimes, there's legwork, sometimes a lot of legwork, that has to happen behind the scenes before you're going to see the growth that you want. And if you're a chaotic, I hate to break it to you, it's going to take you a little longer than when you're a fusion because of your inherent nature, just how chaotics are wired. It takes you a little bit longer. Doesn't mean you won't be successful, or as successful, or more successful, but it means that if you're looking around seeing other people making it and you're not there yet, whatever that means for you, you can easily become discouraged and frustrated. So you have to figure in some maintenance time. In my dream glazing program, I talk about pumpkin and radish goals. Dream glazing is a tool that I've used for years now to help me get crystal clarity on what I'm really playing for in my life and my work. Some goals are pumpkin-sized, and others are more like radishes. Pumpkins take a whole season to bear fruit. Radishes come up pretty quickly. Most growth-sized goals are pumpkin goals. A lot of underground, behind-the-scenes work that's got to happen before you're going to bear any fruit. And if you treat them like a radish, you're going to frustrate yourself and give up well before you see the results that you have. You need to pull radish out of the ground 30 days after you put it in the ground. Not so with a pumpkin. You pull a pumpkin out 30 days later, you get a root and a green stick. That's it. So once you have clarity on what you really want for yourself, you've got to have the confidence to take consistent action. Notice I did not say massive action. That's a big buzz phrase. You hear a lot of coaches use that are all about the hustle, 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 hustle. That's not me. Now, there is a time and a place for massive action, but no one can take massive action all the time because you'll burn out. You'll make yourself sick. Adrenal fatigue is a real thing. But consistent action is something that you can define for yourself. What does it mean to be consistent for you? I have an incubator client who has about 5 hours a week to devote to her great work, and we used to joke about riding the snail. But those few hours over the past year have really added up, and now she's got momentum. Past clients are reaching out of the blue, and when she quotes her new, much higher prices, they're saying, oh, that sounds good. Great. Cool. Let's do it. So glad to be working with her. But she didn't do anything revolutionary. And it took a lot of behind-the-scenes work on mindset stuff, as well as the mechanics of creating offers that work, but she kept showing up consistently, doing the work consistently. And here she is nearly a year later, and she's actually got a business model that's generating real income. And if she stays consistent, that income is going to grow to the point where she can leave her day job and do what she loves on a more regular schedule. Now, is she there yet? Not quite, but it's happening. And she's got some momentum behind her now, and we're planning out the next 12 months. We're consistently looking out. What's out there? What's coming at you? And here's the funny thing about consistency. It builds momentum, which feeds your confidence. It's a virtuous cycle, and it feeds your growth. Confidence gives you the courage to do the hard things you might not have ever considered before. So getting clear, getting confident, getting courage. Okay? And you can do the hard things like doubling your rates or turning down clients who aren't a good fit when you would have said yes in the past because you need the money. It gives you the courage to change your business model so that it works for you even when other people think you're nuts. Helena had a great revelation this month. She had been running a free Facebook group and it was draining her energy. She was ready to quit it. And I said, well, why don't you turn it into a paid group? And she didn't think anybody would stick around. She wasn't confident about the pricing. So we finally settled in at $10 a month for charter members. Charter membership, $10. So, yeah, she got a little pushback from a few squeaky wheels, but she also designed something that fueled her energy and got her excited to be in the group again. And her audience responded. Now, the group shrank considerably from a little over 350, I think, to 45 paying members. But our goal was 6 members. Like, if we could just get 6, we called it shoe money.
that would pay for a pair of shoes. And she got almost 8 times more than our original goal.
That's a pretty nice pair of shoes.
And now that's money that's coming in each month for her. And she can build that asset. Other people thought she's wasting her time. Her copywriter refused to even touch the project because she thought it was beneath her. But Helena helped steady to giving the experiment a go, and wow, what a result.
Now, I hear you. Well, $400, I mean, $450. That's not much. That's not a lot.
And that's what you're focused on. You're missing the point. Because Helena can now parlay this paid group into something even more powerful, not just income, but a platform for deep research that drives all of her marketing and sales decisions, because she's got exclusive access to a community of people who have already paid her to show up and tell her what's on their mind. Very often, the only thing limiting your results is the thing resting between your two ears inside yourself. Now that said, you really do need a right-sized goal. And that's when you take what you really want, okay, that thing you've already done, and get really clear about what it's going to take to get there. You've got to get clear on that. I want to make $1 million this year.
Well, if I don't have clarity on how that's going to happen, it's not going to happen very easily.
And I'm all for the law of attraction and having things come surprising ways.
You chaotic out there who are like, oh, God helps those who help themselves.
Yep.
So if I want to make $1 million, I'm at least going to hazard a plan to get there. I'm going to try to develop something. I'm not just going to hope and cross my fingers and be like, the money's coming. And maybe that's just because I'm a fusion.
So if you're aiming for an income goal, what are the ways you're going to generate, find, or create that income? How will it come in? Are you going to launch something new? If so, there's a lead time where you're not making any money. And then there's a big push where a good portion of the money comes in, followed by this fallow period where interest wanes. That's how a launch works. So you've got a plan for that. You can't say, hey, I'll have a 6-year launch, so let's just divide that by 12.
No, because all that money's not going to come in over 12 months.
And if you don't do the marketing legwork,
chaotic confusion, I'm talking to you,
then that money won't come in at all, no matter how much work you put into creating something. So build an income plan that's as true to life as possible, pumpkins and radishes, that's going to show you not only where the holes are in the plan, but what it's really going to take to help you hit those goals. And if you have no idea how to hit the goal, then you've got to get out of your comfort zone and ask for help. Maybe that means doing research, seeking professional advice. You're building a business, and the sooner you get in the habit of asking for help from the right people, the easier it's going to be to grow. And right-sizing doesn't mean dreaming small. Let me be clear on that. You can still have a goal of hitting $1 million mark in 6 months, so long as you're clear about what it's really going to take to get there. And if more than half of that million is a big, gigantic question mark, and it takes a whole lot of faith in the unexpected and divine blessings to make that happen, well, good luck to you, because the more you can plan, the easier it is to bring it to fruition. Not saying it can't happen, just saying it's easier with a plan. And what else does it mean it's going to happen seamlessly?
Remember when I said April was really frustrating?
I was waiting on a 5-figure check that took 6 weeks to arrive. All my plans were up in the air until that money got here. Everything was in limbo. Some things got delayed. I had to pay late fees. There was a pain in the patoot. And then the money came, and I found more ease in the process.
But it was hell in the interim. And even one time you said to you in the Princess Bride, I hate you. That was me.
And that's the process, guys. That is a whole process for getting yourself on the growth track. Get clear on the year-long vision, and then right-size it for the next 6 months. And then do it in another 3 months. And again in another 3 months, because you're always looking 1 year out. It may mean that growth comes more slowly, but it'll be sustainable. I don't teach 6 figures in 60 seconds. The closest I do is 6-figure income mapping in 90 days. Okay? There are people out there that teach that kind of hustle, hustle, but that's not me. I want profitability and sustainability. That is what creative freedom is all about.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for us today. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be part of this training. I hope you got a lot out of it. As always, if any questions come up later, please reach out. I am here to help. And if you want more details on the Accountability Club, you can find them at lisarobinyoung.com/
Space Club. That's ACLUB. And until next time, stay safe. This is Robin Young signing off. And blessings and peace. Everybody have a great day.